Well, I could listen to that music all morning, but hey, we have something better. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, New York, is presenting the exhibition Circus Circus through October 16th, featuring paintings of the American circus by artists from the 1920s and 30s, alongside circus-themed marketing materials used by the Beechnut Packaging Company in the 30s. The circus coming to town was a highly anticipated event in small towns across America. Many artists in the 20s and 30s painted the spectacle of the parade as the circus arrived. Images of circus cars, animals, and acrobats were also used to market food products during the 1930s. The Beechnut Packaging Company was one of the companies to use the excitement and nostalgia of the circus to sell its products. The circus-themed marketing campaign culminated in the creation of Beechnut miniature circuses that traveled across the country in buses, and a miniature circus was displayed in their pavilion at the New York World's Fair in 1939. To tell us more about all of this and about the Circus Circus exhibition at the Arkell Museum in Canajoharie, we welcome Museum Director and Curator Diane Forsberg. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you very much for being here.
It's great to be here.
And art historian Carol Ann Marling joins us as well. Carol, thank you very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much for doing this and for joining us by telephone. So let us begin with you, Diane, as to how this exhibit came to be.
Well, the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie sits right across the street from the original Beechnut Packing Company factory. And over the years, marketing material and interesting works of art have found their way across the street. And we ended up with a wonderful record of the different ways that Beechnut marketed its products. And one of those was using the circus theme. And Carol Ann Marling actually visited Canajoharie before the new building was built.
Mm-hmm.
She came to see us, and we watched a 16-millimeter film while she was there on the World's Fair in New York City. And in that film was a view of the pavilion where Beechnut had a miniature circus. And Carol Ann Marling sat there as if she'd seen it already and narrated the whole thing for us. And so that got us very excited about the miniature circus. And we've continued to look through our collection and identified everything circus related. And also, a few years ago, a supporter of ours helped us purchase items from the miniature circus, circus cars and animals. And those are in the exhibit right now.
So, Carol Ann, tell us a little bit about this, of how you came to this expertise. How did you blow everybody away in the room and your knowledge about this miniature circus?
Well, I've been sort of interested in the circus as it pertains to the arts for a long time. I've given lectures at Clown College at the Barnum and Bailey headquarters in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was particularly entranced because I have a long and varied history with Beechnut. My grandmothers all carried little packages of Beechnut gum, one in her purse and the other one down the front of her dress. And whenever they came to visit and I behaved myself, these little items were suddenly dragged out from wherever they were and presented. And that was reinforced by driving past the Beechnut building, where the logo was big and bright. And the only interesting thing on the freeway, the New York State Thruway, whenever we were going toward Boston. So I've always been fascinated by both things. In terms of writing about the circus, I've written a number of essays and articles about various phases of the circus. But what it really got to me about the Beechnut collection in Canajoharie is the whole interesting tangled story of how Mr. Arkell, the senior Arkell, the founder of the feast, I guess you would call him, came to be so intrigued by circuses, and how interesting it was to me that so many other, not only circus freaks, but also artists were just mesmerized by circuses. I don't know that nostalgia at the beginning was their preoccupation. It was color, it was dynamism, it was many things that in an odd way paralleled what was going on in the whole of American culture in the 1920s.
I'll let you both answer this, but I'll begin with you, Carol, and that is, what is a miniature circus?
Well, there are people all over the United States, as I learn when I go from one venue to another, who have made their life's work creating circuses that are, about as big as, your thumb. circus tents, figures, some of them mechanized, some of them not. There's a gigantic one at the Circus Museum in Sarasota. People send them to state fairs. And some of these are older people who I'm sure are consumed with nostalgia for the tent circus, but many of them are just, normal middle-aged and younger people who find the whole story of the circus and this enormous sort of quasi-industrial unfolding of the whole city in the matter of a few hours fascinating. The kind of thing you see in circus movies, for example, with Charlton Heston performing this magic as the leader of the band. So it's an interesting thing to create a miniature world as the circus, which is, so fragile. For some people, it's an eye-opener. I've seen people at state fairs, for example, looking at miniature circuses and saying to their kids or saying to themselves, why, I never knew it was like this. The circus has just about vanished from our lives now. Ringling Brothers runs two circuses around the country every year in alternate versions, but it's not something one sees every day. So in the present, it's kind of a shock, a culture shock.
When it comes to the miniature circus, do we know how many Beechnut had, Diane?
Well, they started with 5 buses with miniature circuses in them, and you'd come up and look through the window. But they got up to 15, and then that was just for a period of 3 years, so that those buses, and they eventually traveled to all the states. And then they had a slightly larger circus that was also miniature at the World's Fair Pavilion. And I think, Bartlett did this because the big circus that came to town wasn't coming to every town anymore. And so this was sort of helping people relive their past, remember, going to the circus from their childhood. And it was also a way to introduce a younger generation to this idea of circus who may not have visited one yet. And then they would also hand out their gum and candy while you were there.
Yes.
But, yeah.
Well, so in your recreation and finding these pieces, are you looking for ones that specifically were Beechnut as part of the Beechnut, not just circuses, miniature circuses in general?
No, this whole exhibit and what we have in our collection are figures and cars from the miniature circus that we'd love to find some from the New York World's Fair. What we really have are the animals and cars and people who were on the buses.
And is the stuff out there and just sort of out of reach as far as price, or do people still want it? Or is it just finding where it is?
I think it's a combination of things. I think some people may have it and not, and want to keep it, know what it is. There's other people who may have it and have no idea that it was part of the Beechnut Miniature Circus.
Do we know what happened to it in the sense of, did it just sort of naturally, went into a room and then at some point it just started to wander away? Or was it auctioned? Or do we know about what happened to it officially?
I think there are various different paths. And I don't really know what happened to the World's Fair Circus. But the animals who are on the cars. There's one actually Beechnut bus that survives, and it's owned by the New York State Museum, and they have it in a warehouse. And it doesn't have all the animals on it. But it's interesting, if you look at it, you can see really how it worked, because you can see the mechanism, the mechanics behind it. You can see, you know, how the animals moved around, where the individual animals that have taken off the bus, you don't really get that sense of how they interacted with each other, that there were three rings and an outer, you know, circus parade and all these different things that were going on. Now, I think that the buses were pretty similar in what they had on them in terms of numbers of rings, numbers of, you know, floats, but they did vary a little. The costume on the elephants would be different. There would be different floats that went around. And I don't know where they all are.
Carol, why are they artistically significant?
Well, there was a sort of a revival of interest in circuses because they combined two things. One of them was the very modern, the technology of getting these circuses out of a warehouse and into small town America or Madison Square Garden with enormous efficiency. That was one part of it. And the other part of it was that this is Americana. Throughout the 1930s, American painters were interested in both aspects of American life. One of them was the mechanistic, which led toward a more abstract kind of art. And the other was the nostalgic, or trying to find America's roots, something to hold on to during the Great Depression. So both of those elements combined to create a renewed interest in this subject. In 1929, a very famous exhibition was held at the workshop of Gertrude Vanderbilt Whitney. This was a predecessor to the Whitney Museum of American Art in New York, and the theme was the circus in paint. And it was an eye-opener for just about everybody, and sort of signified this use of the circus as a symbol of so many things that were coming or had gone in American life. I think particularly of the owner at that point of the circus, of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus, Mr. North, who had a beautiful Venetian home down in Florida and was desperately trying to save the circus. And one of his strategies was to get very famous artists, not necessarily painters, but musicians and choreographers, to adjust the circus to modern times. And one of the results was putting elephants in tutus and having a ballet performed by none other than George Balanchine with the elephants. This was modernizing the circus. So you could modernize it. You could make it a representative of modern life, as was the case with these buses that took the circus around from place to place, attended, I might add, by young ladies who were handing out the goodies, dressed in very modern-looking circus costumes. That was one way you could go, and the other way you could go was sort of falling into pure nostalgia.
So we have about 2 minutes left, and so first of all, Carol will be at the museum speaking, right?
Saturday, August 6th at 2 o'clock. It's hard to believe it's August, but
this Saturday at 2 o'clock at the Arkell Museum in Canajoharie, and we'll give you the information so you can find out more about that event. And then, Diane, just give us a sense of what else is in the exhibit. Walk us through quick.
Right now, we're in the gallery right across from Circus Circus. We have an exhibit called Edward Bike, Picturing the American Revolution. And this is an artist from the late 1920s who was looking at Canajoharie during the Revolutionary War. He talked to the state historian, and he created scenes of Canajoharie as he imagined and researched. So that's on display, and that one of those paintings was recently conserved. And right across from it are all sorts of people who actually lived during the Revolutionary War, painted by Trumbull and West and Gilbert Stuart.
Wow, so really good stuff happening at the Arkell. Again, the Circus Circus exhibition is up through October 16th. And there will be a Carol Ann Marling will be giving a talk about the exhibit and about her experience. And that'll be happening at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon at the Arkell Museum. And you can find out more information at the Arkell Museum website, which is
www.arkellmuseum.org.
Arkellmuseum.org, arkellmuseum.org. Carol and Diane, I thank you very much for being with us this morning. A great pleasure to have you both on the program.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Much fun.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.